Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Chaf Beis, and we are three lines from the bottom of daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis Tanya. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasunu Matzaru Vashivya. So we're holding Be'ezus Hashem at the very last daf of the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah. The topic of the daf is what it's been, minus the digressions, for the entire Masechta, and that is different halachos that relate to how a Yid can and cannot deal with Ovdei Kecham. Specifically, the Mishnah, which began on the bottom of Daf Chaf Amid Beis, discussed renting things to an Ovid Kechavim. The Mishnah talked about renting bayis, a merchitz, a bayis that's used for a dira, a bayis that's used for other things, a sada. Today's daf is going to begin with a braisa that's going to continue on that thing. Zokta Gemara, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Reb Shimon ben Elazar said, Lo yaskir adam sadeo lukuti. A person should not rent his field to a kuti, mitnei shenikras al shmoi, because although he's renting it to the kuti, so that the kuti right now has the rights to use it, he's even paying for those rights, but at the same time, it's nikras al shmoi, it's still considered Be'enei Habriyos, the field of the Yid that owns it. Okay, v'kuti zeh oisa ba malacha b'chol ha-shamayit. And this kuti is going to do malacha, maybe on chol ha-shamayit. And if and when it does that, it's going to look like the Yid hired him, that's the punchline, to do malacha in his field on chol ha-shamayit, which is something that is very much prohibited. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar in the Braisa said a halacha relating not to renting a field to an Ovid Kechavim, which was the topic of the previous daf, but rather relating to renting a field to a kuti, which understandably is me'inyan le'inyan ba'os inyan. And what Reb Shimon ben Elazar said was that it's aser. The reason is because people recognize this field as belonging to the Yid. The kuti is chashed to do malacha on chol ha-moed. It's going to look like the Yid hired him to do malacha on chol ha-moed. A Yid's not allowed to do malacha on chol ha-moed. Not only is a Yid not allowed to do malacha on chol ha-moed, he's not allowed to ask someone else, not a guy, not a Yid, to do it for him. And as a result, there's a maris ayin issue. Therefore, we have a halacha, psuka, la'yaskir, adam, sadeo, l'kuti, period. Now, in terms of just understanding and appreciating this halacha a little bit better, and really, from here until the end of the parak, we need a tiny bit of a background in terms of who exactly the kutim are. So over the years, we've done longer raid bites, longer introductions in terms of having a havana of who the kutim are. They appear underrated so often in Shas. But what we need for our Gemara is the miniature version, and that is, there were a group of people known as the kutim. They had originally come from a Middle Eastern region called Kuta. They had been placed in Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser, who was the king of Asher. He did it after he had exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. This is in the middle of the Tkufa of Bayis Rishon, and there was this huge vacant part of Eretz Yisrael, the Galil, the northern region, and he didn't want no one to be there. So he gathered people from different places, he put them there. One of the places that these people came from was Kuta, and I'll shame those Kutim, this entire group of people became known as Kutim. Now these people, if they have Avodah Zarah, Vayasu, Harab, Be'ini Hashem, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent lions, Leiben, literally, to go and start doing what Leiben do, eating them, fressing them. They got very, very scared. They realized that something must be wrong. They made a cheshbon hanefesh, bo cheshbon, and they were megayir. And there was a big debate amongst the Tanan for generations, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, whether that conversion was a sincere conversion, whether it was not a sincere conversion. Were they geirei emes, meaning they were regular converts, they weren't born yidden, but because of the maisa shahaya, kachaya, they were megayir, or could be they were geirei arayas, arayas with an aleph. It was because of these aris, because of these lions, that they were megayir, and as a result, their geirus was not a sincere geirus. L'may nafkemina, oh, big time. Are they Yidden or are they not Yidden? The ones that held that the Kutim were Geri Ames held they were Yidden. The ones that held that they were Geri Arayas held that they were not Yidden. Truth is that there are different sugis and shas that treat the Kutim as Yidden, and there are sugis and shas that treat the Kutim as being any Yehudim. It's Tali L'chayra. in the Shiloh, with the Kutim Geri Emes, well, then the Sugi is going to treat them like Geri Emes, like Yidden. With the Geri Arayas, then we're going to treat them not like Yidden. Stating that, there's a Gemara in Masechtas Chulin in the first parak that says that there was a time when Nimnu Vagamru, the Amoraim got together and they made a declaration and they decided, we're revisiting the issue and from this point forward, we are going to treat the Kutim as Geri Arayas. Now the question is, how were they able to do that? There's a famous Chassam Sofer, the Inkam Mekoyim Elaharach. But the bottom line is, when you see a sugya related to Kutim, there's really now not two questions you have to ask, but three. Number one, are we going Kuti Geri Emes? Are we going Kutim Geri Arayas? And Imtim Tzoloimar, that Kutim Geri Emes, maybe we're going after the licensure of these Kutim was revoked, and now, for sure, we're going to treat them as being insincere Geri. Now, as it relates to the Kutin themselves, so they were a funny people. And that is that there were many mitzvahs that they observed, there were many mitzvahs that they didn't observe. Now, to be clear, that has nothing to do with this shiloh of Geri Emes, Geri Arayis. That's a halachic shiloh. Are they Yidden or are they not Yidden? But in terms of Lamaisa, just from a historical, anthropological, a sociological perspective, what did the Kutim do or what did they not do? So there were certain mitzvahs that they kept. There were certain mitzvahs that they did not keep. And that's why whenever you discuss the Kutim, there's an additional nuance. Because, number one, are we dealing with Yidden? Are we dealing with any Yehudim? Number two, are they chashed for certain basic mitzvahs that you'll never ever find anywhere that a Yid would be considered a chashed for. Now, all of this is going to be manifest in this last Amud of Gemara, in the first parak of Masechtas Avodah Zarah. Just one thing that we should accept as a hanocha, because the Rishonim, Rashi, and Tosfos both speak it out, but Meshach HaSugya, and that is that our sugya is going according to the mandamer that holds Kutim Geire Emes, and not only Kutim Geire Emes, before the sugya in the first parak of Masechtas Chulin, where it was already Nimnu Vagomer that they wouldn't be treated as Yidden. So in our sugya, the Kutim are going to be considered they're full-fledged Jews. There's no insecurity in terms of their status as Yehudi. However, they are chashud on certain things. They do their own inyan, which is a problem, which is going to make them unique in our sugya. So again, let's revisit again what Rav Shimon ben Elazar said. A person shall not rent a field to a kuti. The reason is because the field's going to be nikras al shmoy shel yehudi. This kuti is chashed to do malacha and chalamoid. And when he does malacha b'chalo shel moed in the field of the yid, it's going to look a little bit like the yid hired him. Now, you're allowed to rent a field to a yid, even though the yid might do malacha and chalamoid. Why? Because he's not chashed to do malacha and chalamoid. So this is right away where you see that the kutim, even though we're treating them like Geri Emes, like all the Rishayim speak out, but at the same time, we view them as being chashin on certain things. One of them is doing malacha on chalamoid, says the Gemara. So this is what Rav Shimon ben Elazar said. There's a little diak that's to be had, and that is Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, "Le'yaskir adam sadeh lukuti." But it sounds like to a guy, ma'ishari, it's going to be mutter. Meaning, it sounds like it's only to a kuti that it's going to be aser, but to an oivik kechavim, it's really going to be mutter. Now, the truth is, just hit the pause button again for a second. Toisvis is the bottom tois on the yom. It says tema, ma'iko dayak. I'm not sure what the diak is. Maybe you're not let a rent to a kuti. And Kol Shekein, you're not allowed to rent to a guy. Because think about it for a second. Why you're not allowed to rent to a kuti? Because it's going to look like when the kuti is doing malach and chalamay, maybe he's doing it for the yid. Okay, you have the same exact svara by an Avik Yechavim, which is what the Gemara is about to ask. Not just that, by the Avik Yechavim, it's even more chamer. Because the Avik Yechavim is chashed to do malach on Shabbos. Not chashed, he's allowed to do malach on Shabbos and on Yontif. So this chashash that you have for a kuti is actually more prevalent by an Avik Yechavim. It would make sense then that where Rav Shimon Elazar said kuti, he didn't mean lafuki Avik Yechavim, because you're right, there's no svara the world to be mechalik, but rather what he meant to say was even a kuti. And what's the chiddush? The kutim achashed on doing malacha chelo shamayit. So Tosfos asks that as a tema, and one teretz that Tosfos says is that really this brisa, three lines from the bottom of Chafal Famibes, is the seifa of the brisa that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, 7.5 years ago, which is three lines from the top of Chafal Famibes. Over there, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Lo yiskar adam merchatzay lo oivid koychavim." And the Gemara made a diak tafku noivik kechavim as opposed to a kuti. This Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the same brisa, so we don't have the brises in front of us, but this one we actually do. It's a teisefta, and if you look it up in the teisefta, you're going to see it's the same teisefta. It's the same brisa. So just like in Dereisha, the Gemara made a big deal where it says he now let it be maskir a merchitz to noivik kechavim, but a kuti, yeah. So when it says oivik kechavim, it's dafka oivik kechavim. So too, poetic symmetry, the assumption of the Gemara is that where it says kuti, it means dafka, kuti, not an evkechavim. But either way, what's the Gemara's kasha? Evkechavim is going to be mutter. What would be the svara? Says the Gemara, the svara, I guess, would be the amri arusso, arusso seyavim. Meaning, if somebody's going to see this evkechavim doing melacha in the field of the yid, he's not going to assume that the yid hired him, amir ola akum, marisayin, this melacha being done on Shabbos, Yontif, and Chalamoy. That's not what he's going to assume. He's going to assume he's a sharecropper. He has some sort of contract. It's a 5-year contract. He does what he does. He gets lemechtsa l'shusher l'rvia, the way every artist does. It's a daita d'navshei ka'avim. He's not violating any issim halacha over here. Well, if that's the case, one you say the same thing as relates to the kuti. So the Gemara says, you have to say that arisus Reb Shimon ben Elazar lasai. Reb Shimon ben Elazar really is not going to subscribe to the svara of arisusa. Meaning, if you're going to see a kuti, or if you're going to see an oivik echavim doing melach in a yitz field, you're not going to assume he's an aris. To the contrary, we're going to be down like kavchoyva, and we're going to say he's probably just a regular worker who's getting paid to do a job, 9 to 5, and as a result, it looks a little like a marasayan issue. If that's the case, the Gemara says, so that would explain why the kuti is aser, but then why is the oivikechava mutter? I mean, the only svara we could think of is, we'll assume he's an ars, but if you can assume he's an ars, you'd have to assume the kuti is an ars. The Teretz says, we're not assuming anybody's an ars. So I understand why the kuti is aser, but why is the oivikechava mutter? So the Gemara says, the reason you're allowed to be masker asada to a kuti is because, or to an oivikechavim, is because when you rent it to the oivikechavim, you tell him, listen to me, I'm going to rent it to you, but at the same time, don't do malacha on Shabbos, on Yontif, Chalamoy, don't do malacha on these days. The reason is because it's going to reflect poorly on me. There's a marasayan. No one's going to think highly of me. And if you tell it to the Oivik Yechavim, he's going to listen. And it's for that reason, it's mutter. Meaning, you're not allowed to rent it to him the whole year because of Azach Shash. You put it in the contract. You tell it to him. You say this is something that's very sensitive to you, and you could trust him. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, kuti nami, omri nilevet zayas. So then it should be mutter to a kuti. Why can't you do the same thing? Says the Gemara, and this is interesting, kuti loy zayas. The kuti is not going to listen. The Omar, because he's going to say, ano gomir not fei minach. He says, ich bin agresa tamad chochem fin you. The Oivik Echavim knows he doesn't know how to learn. So he's going to take the Yid's word for it. But the Kuti has Shaina Lamdin, right? He knows better. And he's going to say it's mutter to do Malach on Chalamoy, right? He's chashed on doing Malach on Chalamoy, not just because he's an Avde Befkei Renichale. It's coming from a Shita. It's coming from a Hashkafa, right? It's L'Shem Shemaim Neschavim. There's some sort of element of that going on over here. And therefore, we assume he's not going to listen. And if he's not going to listen, that's why it's going to be a problem. So what's the bottom line? Reb Shimon Elazar said, ask Adam Sadeo Lukuti. It's dafka kuti, not to an evikechavim, and the reason is based on a marasayan issue. Why do you have the marasayan issue dafka by the kuti, not by the evikechavim? It's because the evikechavim, you're going to tell not to do malach, he's going to listen, therefore, we don't think this is ever going to play itself out. As a result, it's mutter. As it relates to the kuti, however, even if you tell it to him, loit zayis, the Amar is going to say, ano gomir not fei minach, feit the Gemara yachi, bazoi, my irium epneshen nekras al shmai. Why did Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar say that the reason he asked your Adam today the kuti is because it's nekras al shmai? Meaning, if you're going to tell me that the kuti is going to end up doing malach on chalamoid, so typically it should be aser for even a better reason, because of lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol, which has been one of the themes of the first parak of Avodah Zarah. But the bottom line is, fake the Gemara, that why are you telling me it's only aser because of a marasayan that's going to reflect poorly on the yid? If the kuti is chashud on the laws of doing malach on chalamoid, and we're going kutem geire emes, Tosfos says this is one of the rayas in the sugya that the Gemara holds kutem geire emes. So we're going that kutem geire emes. So if the kutem geire emes, so it comes that you're being machshel him, you're going to be over lifnei iver loisita michshel. So the Gemara says you're 100% right. Chadava oid kamar. You have to say that when Reb Shimon ben Elazar said mipnei nekras al shmai, he was giving one of two reasons. Chadam yishum lifnei iver vaoid mipnei nekras al shmai. And Chanami destaked two reasons. This is not the only reason, there is another reason as well. Tosfos, the top Tosfos on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, asks just a pshatova kash, and that is, before the Gemara asked, typically out lifnei iver loisita michshol, the Gemara prefaced it with an ihachi. The Gemara said, ihachi My iriyam mipneishin ekras al shmoi tepek lei mishum lifnei ivel lei sita mechshav. Tosfos says, what's the hachi? What did we say in the cheshbon of the Gemara that now all of a sudden begets this question? L'chari, the question's a very good question. Rav Shimon Elazar oimer lo yaskir adam sadeh lukuti mipneishin ekras al shmoi v'kuti ze oisa boi malacha b'chal al shmoi. See, he said in the first that the kuti is going to do malacha b'chal al shmoi. We hold the maksha does that kuti mageri ames, which means that two things are going to come about as a result of it. Number one, there's a marasayim. Number two, there's a lifnei iver leisita michshol. And if the Gemara has a kash my iriyam ibnation ikras al shmoi tepek leim yishom lifnei iver, because that's better. Well, if that's better, then ask the kasha. Where is it manifest in the cheshbon of the Gemara? So Tosfos springs from Rebbe Elchanan, who he quotes throughout Masechtas Avodah Zarah. The Rebbe Elchanan said that the hachi of the Gemara was based on the diuk of the Gemara aval oivid keichavim shari. Meaning, from the words of Rav Shimon Elazar alone, the Gemara would have never asked this kasha. But being that the Gemara was medayik from the words of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, which the bottom Tosfos on Chaval from Abayz already addressed, where is the dik? But being that the Gemara was medayik, that this Isser is only negeya kuti, and it's not negeya and oivet kechavim, it's for that reason the Gemara asked the kasha. What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon's pashat. Because if the halacha is negeya, even in Oivet Kechavim, so then you have the Sfar of Marasayim when the Oivet Kechavim is going to be doing Malacha for you, but you don't have a Sfar of Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol, because there's no Isser for a Goy to do Malacha on Shabbos or Yontif on Chol HaMoed. So the reason the Braisa would have said Mipneishan Ekras Al Shmoi is because it's a one-size-fits-all explanation. It explains why it's Asa for the Goy and explains why it's Asa for the Kuti. But being that the Gemara made the Diyak Aval Oivet Kechavim Mai Shari, and the Gemara, even because of that diyuk, clarified what Rav Shimon Elazar meant a little bit better. But the bottom line is, from the first eight or so lines of the Gemara, what emerged was that kuti is aser, but oivet kechavim is going to be mutter. So if the is only the gay or kuti, so every single time you're going to be masked to a kuti, to the extent that he's chashen on doing malacha on kailu shamayit, comes out, you're being machshel him with the malacha. So why are you telling me only al tzmarasayin? Typically also al tzlifnei ivel leisita michshol. So we started off here, we went through this first Gemara a little slowly, but really two toisvesin that are both. Number one, how did the Gemara know Aval Oivet Kechavim Shari? Maybe Kuti V'Kolshkin Oivet Kechavim. And number two, what's the Ihachi? If you go through the Tosfos, and really the two Diyukim are totally in each other. The answer to the Ihachi Diyuk is really predicated on the Oimik of the first Diyuk of Oivet Kechavim Nami Shari. But either way, the Gemara comes out that really it's Chadavoy. So there's two reasons why you're not allowed to be Masker, Asada, to a Kuti. It's predicated on the fact that it's Nikras al Shmoy, and that the Kuti is going to do Malach on Chal al Shmoy. Asher al Kain, number one, there's a Marasayin issue. Number two, there's also a Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol. Now, as it relates to the Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol component of this Gemara, this is a very, very important Maramakim in the Sugya of Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol. This is what we call a Maramakim that's tucked away, because you wouldn't expect to see a landmine of raid right here in the middle of this Pshatov Cheshmen Digi Gemara. There very much is, and Be'ezer Hashem, at the end of the daf, we are going to return to this Gemara. But for now, the Gemara tells a story. Hani Moirikoi, there were these two people that planted sulfur. So these were two farmers, and their job was to plant gardens, specifically karkum. Says the Gemara. Now, these Moirikoi, one of them was a Yid, and the other one was an Oivet Kechavim. So they're partners, they have a business together, and when they went to do their work, the way they did it was as follows. The Oivet Kechavim Nakit B'Shabbat. The Oivet Kechavim went, and he did all the work. Rashi says he was Chayreish, he was Eireish, he was Kaitzer, did everything that had to be done on Shabbos. And the Yid, he worked on Sunday. So the Yid rests on Shabbos, and the Oivet Kechavim worked on Shabbos, and the Oivet Kechavim, they Yoim Edom, as we saw, was B'Yoim Rishon. So Oivet Kechavim went, the Yid went ahead, and he did the Malach on B'chad B'Shabbat. Also, they came to Rava. And the question was, meaning they want to split the money now. Could they split the money? Could they not split the money? Right? The Yid is taking from work that was done by his partner on Shabbos. Right? The Oivet Kechavim is taking from the work that his partner did on his Shabbos, on his Yoim Edom. The question was brought to Rava. This was the Yid asking the question, and he wanted to know, is he allowed to take or is he not allowed to take? So the Gemara says, Sharulu. Rava said, yeah, I don't see what the problem is. It's perfectly okay. Frank the Gemara is the Ravina Lil Ravas. Ravina was there when he heard Ravas Psak, and he asked him a question from the following price. Yisrael and Evikachavim Shkiplu Sada B'Shutfes. Yisrael and Evikachavim, they both took upon themselves to work a field B'Shutfes. So they're Kablonim, they're Arisen, right? They're farmers, they're going to work a field, and they're partners. So the price says like this. Yisrael cannot tell the Evikachavim, Toil Chelkecha B'Shabbos. He can't tell him that I want you to go work on Shabbos. I'll work during the week, right? You'll do Shabbos, I'll do Sunday, you'll do Monday, I'll do Tuesday. He can't do it in that way. And even tell him that you'll take your schar that comes on Shabbos and I'll take the schar that came during the week. That's not something that's okay. And the reason it's not okay, let's speak it out already now, is because being that they took upon to work this field b'shutfis, each one technically is achroy to work the entire field. Whatever days they're going to work, they all have to work. And whatever profits are going to come, they're all going to split equally. If they now decide that, you know, you do on this day and I do on that way, the way we look at it is that really both of them are doing it on both days. Just one is acting as a shlich, the other. So when the guy is going to work on Shabbos and not the Yid, we see it that really the Yid and the guy are both working because that's what their agreement says. It just so happens their little arrangement that they made was is that you'll be my shlich on Shabbos and then I'll work for you on Sunday. But the bottom line is we look at it as if the Yid himself is working on Shabbos, even though it's the guy, but Amir Lakum, through the Shlichos, but the point is we look at it as if the Yid is working, and if the Yid now is going to have Hanah from this money, this is your classic Schar Shabbos, right? In addition to not being allowed to work on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from any work that you do on Shabbos, and it's for that reason, this is something that's going to be a problem. But let's say before they signed the contract, they got together and they said, listen, we're going into partnership together. I'm a Jew. I have a problem. I can't work on Shabbos. So as a result, let's make this arrangement. If they did it, l'chatchila mutar, it's going to be mutar. So when is it a problem? It's a problem when they make this arrangement after the fact. But if they did it before the fact, that's when then it's going to be okay. Then bo l'cheshbon asa. What if they were bo l'cheshbon? Then it's going to be asa. So what does this mean? So Rashi says this is going back on the first case. It's going on the case where they didn't make a tanai l'chatchila, where they didn't sit down together at the onset and say that you know you'll work Shabbos, I'll work Sunday, and you'll take from your Shabbos, I'll take from my Sunday. That's not what they did. They went into this stam stating that what changed over here was they never discussed. They never discussed, even after the fact, meaning after they already became partners, that you're going to work on Shabbos and I'm going to work Sunday and you'll take from your Shabbos and I'm going to take from the Sunday. But rather what happened was the guy went and he worked Shabbos, understanding that his partner's in, you know, in synagogue the whole day, so it's not going to work for him. And then the Yid understood that he has his chag, his yoy made on Sunday, so he went ahead and he worked on Sunday. So there was no hisna b'neihem. They never even discussed you work on this day and you work on that day. But rather what happened was he memelo went and he worked on Shabbos, he memelo worked on Sunday, but here's the punchline. And then they came to make a cheshbon. And when they came to make a cheshbon, I think it's kedai to see Rashi inside. It's the last few lines of Rashi Dibra Maschel, then bo l'cheshbon. The ubo l'cheshbon l'achaz man loymar, kama yemei Shabbos notalto ato, vani etol kinegdon yemeacha. When they came to the chalukah, they gave a shout out to the days. So they said, oh, you know, you worked how many Shabbosim? Oh, you worked 10 Shabbosim? Oh, and I worked 10 Sundays? No problem. So for the 10 Shabbosim you worked, you're going to get $10,000. But the 10 Sundays that I worked, I'm going to now get $10,000. That also is a problem. And the reason it's a problem, we'll see it better in the Hemshech of the Gemara, is because they spoke out at some point the fact that you're taking yours for the work that you did on Shabbos, and I'm taking mine for the work that I did on Sunday. The minute they give a shout out to the days in the Chalukah, we view it now that when he worked on Shabbos, he was working b'shlichus of the Yid, and when the Yid was working on Sunday, he was working b'shlichus of the guy. As a result, it's as if I taka did the malach. If I did the malach on Shabbos, there's a new halacha. There's a new. This is called schar Shabbos. This is not something I'd be allowed to do. If you want to see it inside, the next Rashi. Also, the schar Shabbos who noitel the goli daitei da'ivikoychavim shluchayayim. When they go and they make their chalukah in this nusach, there's some sort of gili das that he was really working as a shliach and he was working as a shliach. It's for that reason it's going to be a problem. So again, let's get this clear. There's three cases over here in the Braisa. The first case is where a Yid and Rav Kechavim, their partners, they take upon themselves to work a field together after the Shutfis, after they signed all the contracts, they drink Chaim, all the agreements, they're very excited. They go ahead and they say, listen, you're a guy, so you can work on Shabbos. I'm a Yid, I can't. You work Shabbos, I work Sunday. We're going to split everything across the middle. That is 100% us, categorically forbidden. And the reason is because we view it as if the Yid is working on Shabbos, even when the guy is working on Shabbos, Al Yidei Shlichos, and therefore any Anot that he has is classic Schar Shabbos. It's as if I worked on Shabbos and I made money. There's Zinis Rabbanon to have any Anot from Schar Shabbos. As a result, this is going to be a problem. The second case is where they made this arrangement, they made the arrangement before they actually signed this agreement. If they made it before they signed the agreement, so then we look at it L'chatchil as if it's a carve out in the Shutfis, where it's as if you're the Oros on Shabbos, I'm the Oros on Sunday. You're not my Shliach. This is your day, and this is my day, and as a result, there's no Schar Shabbos issue. Then the Braisa goes with a third case and says that in the event that they didn't make a Tanai L'chatchila, and they never even said, you work Shabbos and I'll work Sunday. Punk, the guy ended up working Shabbos, it just made sense, and the Yid ended up working Sunday. But at the time that they came to make the Chalukah, they said, Kama yimei Shabbos notalta atav ani etel kenegdol yimeachah. The fact that they said, once you worked all these Shabbosim and I worked all these yimeachah, so kenegdol Shabbosim, you take this, kenegdol yimeachah, I work that. There's some sort of like gilui das, that I'm happy that you work the Shabbos days and I work these days. And it's like, Yigoy Milsalam Afreya, that I really made you a shliach. It's going to be on the spectrum of Schar Shabbos, and as a result, it's going to be a problem. The Gemara at the very, very end, it's the last Gemara of the Perek, is going to want to know what would be if they never said one word. They just never said a word. They didn't make a Tanai L'Tchilo. They didn't make a Tanai afterwards. He just worked Shabbos. He worked Sunday. And when they came to the Chalukah, he didn't say that line. Kama yimei Shabbos natal ta'ato vani etol kenegdi yimeachol. The Gemara is going to say Tekel. The Gemara is not going to know what the answer to that question is. If that's bothering you, that is something that the Gemara very much is going to speak out. Another thing that's just worth mentioning right now, and that is, it sounds like the Braisa has no problem with the Yid indirectly being Nene from the Melacha that the guy is doing on Shabbos, right? The only time there's going to be an issue over here is if the Yid is doing the Melacha on Shabbos. You can't have Hanah from that. That's Schar Shabbos. Or even if the guy does, but we view it as if he's doing it as a Shlich of the Yid. But let's say the guy does his thing and the Yid does his thing. Let's say they made a Tanai L'chatchila, right? For sure. In that instance, there's going to be no problem. Even though you could argue that the Yid is having some Hanah from Melacha Shabbos, because what's the Shutfis? The Shutfis is I take half and you take half. If your half is the Shabbos, and now I'm able to take, let's say, all the work that was done on Sunday, well, that means I'm indirectly benefiting from what happened on Shabbos. It's clear that that doesn't bother the Braisa, and that's also something that's going to play itself out in these next few lines. But again, so there was a Maestro Yekachai where there were these two Marikai. One was Yid, one was a guy. The guy did the Malacha on Shabbos. The Yid did the Malacha on Sunday. They came to Rav and they wanted to know, could we split the loot, all this cash that we have? And Rav said, Mutter. So Ravina was there, and he asked Rav, he said, what's going on over here? It's a Mefurish Halacha, not that way. You see from this Braisa, now which case is a Braisa? What he means is that it's not the second case, right? There was no Tanai that was made beforehand. So they just went ahead. They were partners and he said, I'll do this, you do that. But they did it after the fact. If they did it after the fact, you see from the Braisa, that's awesome. So the Gemara said, when Rava heard Ravina's Braisa, Ichsef, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. He chapped and he made a mistake. He was told bedvar Braisa, right? He went kineged a Braisa. Mara says, L'saif, they went bedvar later, igloi milsa the histo meikara, that they taked, made a tanai meikara. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always protecting the tzaddikim and the chassidim, and nothing bad ended up coming from Rava's psak. But really, at first glance, it looked like Rava had made a mistake. This story that we just said with Rava and the tzushtel of the Braisa is the version one of this exchange. The Gemara is going to bring an Ikad Amri now, a second version. Rabbi Gevir from Kisil, he had a different version of the story that happened with Rav. He said, Hanush Sili Da'ar Lahava. These two partners, the Yid and the guy, were hired not to be Merikai, that's not what they were doing, they weren't planters, but rather they were planting Arla. That's what it was. It was a whole different story. And it wasn't a question of Shabbos and Sunday. It was a question of the years of Arla versus the subsequent years. So what's the halach of Arla? The fruit that grows on a tree in Eretz Yisrael for the first 3 years is awesome. So the Gemara says, if Kechavim achol shnei da Arla, the Yisrael shnei da teira. So if Kechavim worked the first 3 years, and now he didn't work the first 3 years, he ate all the pears from those 3 years. And then the Yid worked the following 3 years, and he ate the pears from the following 3 years. And also, they came to Rava and Sharalu. And Rava said, this is already okay. Now, Rabbi Gevir Mibeksil said that this was the story, and if this was the story, it changes everything. Most notably, Rava now is not going kineged a Braisa. Rava doesn't have to be embarrassed, because Rava is really not going kineged a Braisa. Why? Because in this case, there was no Isser that the guy was doing on behalf of the Yid. In the first story, the story was we have these two partners. One is working on Shabbos, one is working on Sunday. A yid's not allowed to work on Shabbos. Now he's a yid not allowed to work on Shabbos. He is not allowed to have any hanah from melacha that he does on Shabbos. So to the extent that they're partners and one is working on Shabbos and the other one's working on Sunday, unless they made the Tanai Meikara, then you're going to end up with an issue. Rav Asinta made a mistake. He made a mistake. He was embarrassed, but Baruch Hashem, they wished to protect him. Everything was okay. But there was an issue based on the Braisa. In this case, this wasn't a Shabbos question. Nobody worked on Shabbos. They all took their weekends off. The issue was something else. The guy was working the early years, and the yid was working the non-early years. A yid's not allowed to eat Arlo. Yid's not allowed to have enough from Arlo. But is a yid not allowed to work on Arlo? Who said he is not allowed to work on Arlo? So over here, when the guy was doing his malacha those first 3 years, even if we would deem it as if he was doing it b'shlichas of the yid, because they didn't make any prior arrangement, but at the same time, who cares? There's no foul over here. No one's doing anything wrong. And because no one's doing anything wrong, so it's for that reason it wouldn't be an issue. Now, the only thing you could hear maybe would be a problem is you're not going to have anah from Arla, right? So the yid, l'chayra, is having anah from Arla. But the truth is, that is not mufrich from the braisa that Ravina mentioned earlier. If anything, there's a raya from that braisa. Why isn't there a raya from the Braisa? So we spoke that out before as a segue. Because from the Braisa, you saw that the only time there was an issue with the Yid having this Goyish partner where he's making a living off of Shabbos and the Yid is not, is to the extent that the guy is operating as a Shliach of the Yid. Then it becomes Schar Shabbos because it's my Malacha. But as long as you're not my Shliach, then there's no issues. Right? As long as you're not my shliach, then there's no issues. I am indirectly having hanah from Schar Shabbos. Vaisleis, that indirect hanah that you have in the context of this partnership agreement doesn't bother me. If anything, then, the braisa that we brought earlier in this version 2.0 of the Maitz Chaya Kachaya with Rava is not a kasha on Rava, it's a raya. Again, it's not a kasha because there's no shlichas over here, so it's not a tsushtel, really, to the ikka problem that you have in that braisa over here. There's nothing wrong with a guy being a shlich of a yid to work a field on Arla. In fact, there's nothing wrong with a yid himself working a field on Arla. The problem would be the indirect hanah that you're having from the schar Arla. Well, if there's no problem of having hanah from schar Shabbos indirectly in the context of this partnership agreement, why should it be different with Shabbos? So the Gemara is going to speak at everything that we just said. In a vein, so the Gemara says, again, Rav Gvirmi Beiksil had a different version of the story. So the Gemara asks, this is the Gemara asking now, how could you tell me that Rav Gvirmi Beiksil's version of the Maisa Shai Kachay with Rav is the right version? Everybody knows that after Rav said the Psak, Ravina was sitting there. And Ravina asked the Kasha on Rav. Now, Bishlam, according to the version 1.0 of the story, we understand the Kasha. But according to the version 2.0, we're dealing with Arlo, what Shaykh says, no Kasha. And for the Gemara, you're right. You have to say that the Messiah that we had was just the opposite. We had a mistake. We had a Messiah that Ravina heard it and he went guns blazing. He didn't go guns blazing. Fakert. He said, ah, Rava, you're saying so good. And like we just said now, the Braisa in the 2.0 version is not a kasha on the Rava's psak. It's actually a ride the Rava's psak. But the Gemara says, what about that part of the story? Wasn't Rava embarrassed? The Gemara says, no. Never happened. That's the best way to get out of a pickle. Never happened. If it never happened, it never happens. Going back to the original Braisa. We said in the original Braisa, there were these three cases, right? So the first case was we have Yisrael of Yikachavim. They took upon the shutfis to work a field, kablonim, arisim, and after they took upon the shutfis, you know, one of them says, "You do Shabbos, I'll do Sunday." That's a problem because once you're shutfin already, you can't make that type of arrangement because you're acting as my shliach. What if they would make the arrangement before? That's okay. What if they didn't make any arrangement before? They never even said, you do Shabbos, you do Sunday. But when it came to the Chalukah, they said, again, how many Shabbosim did you do? How many weekdays did I do? Oh, in that case, again, it's going to be us. So Iboilu B'nei Shiva wanted to know, what about the most obvious case? Stamamai. Right, if you look at Rashi, Dibar Maschel Stamamai. Shekiblu Stam. V'osu Stam. And now they want to be Chaylik Stam. And the whole thing is going to be one big Stam. Is that going to be Mut? Is not going to be us. The Gemara says, Tashma, let's see if we can buy from the Ik Brysa. What did the Braisa say? If they made it tonight mitchila, it's going to be mutter. Sounds like that if they didn't make it tonight mitchila, even though it was stama, it's going to be a problem. But the Gemara says, in bolecheshbin, aser. It sounds like if they did stama, then at the end he talked a little too much, then it's going to be a problem. Hostama mutter. So it sounds like stama is going to be okay. Let me hear luckily, Mishra. You know, we blibe with a teiku. There's no achra from here. And the Gemara says, Hadron Allah, lefnei edeya. We concluded this epic parak of Lifnei Edeim, and really without coming up for breath, we're going to start the second parak, which very much picks up where the first parak left off. Zok Teilige Mishnah, Ein Mamidin Behemo Bepunte Koy Shalev Dekecham. Incidentally, a lot of what we're going to see here on Amud Beis should sound familiar, because the Gemara already talked through a lot of these svaras in the first parak. See, and now let's put a behemo in a pundik Shalev Dekechavim, and the reason is Mepnei Shechashudim Al Raviyah, because they're Chashon Raviyah. So again, a Yid owns a pundik, and he wants to rent it out to a Oivik Kechavim, and he wants to leave a behemo there. So the halach is, you're not allowed to do it. The reason not allowed to do it is because the Oivik Kechavim is chashed on Raviyah, and because he is chashed on Raviyah, so therefore, if you're going to leave the behemo there, we're afraid that he may end up doing in a vera. V'loy tisyachet isha himan. Additionally, a woman is not allowed to be miyachet with an Oivik Kechavim. The reason is mipnei shechshudim al arayas, because they're chashed on arayas. Additionally, tisyachet adam imam. Even a man shouldn't be miyachet with them mipnei shechshudim al shvichas damim, because they're chashed on shvichas damim. So essentially, what our Mishnah is saying is that the Oivik Kechavim of yore were chashed on Raviyah, they were chashed on Arayas, they were chashed on Shvichas Damim, and this very much governs the way we have to conduct ourselves with them. We're not allowed to put a behema in their pundik because they're chashed on Raviyah. Like the siachit isha imam because they're chashed on Arayas. Like the siachit adam imam because they're chashed on Shvichas Damim. Fita Gemara Kasha, v'remini, and the remini is going on the first halach of the Mishnah. Ein ma'amid behema b'pundekois shneil oivdei koi chavim. Says the Gemara, is that true? The Tosefta here in the second parak of Masechta Zavodah Zara says as follows: Loicha mehem, you're allowed to purchase from an oivdei chavim behema an animal, a carbon. Chiddush, you're allowed to go to an oivdei chavim, buy a behema and use it as a carbon. Why is it a chiddush? Because there's four things you could have thought maybe happened to this animal that would disqualify it from being a kosher animal for a carbon. Number one, you're not concerned that maybe this animal was reveya, an oivik kechavim, v'loy mishum nirva, or it was the recipient. It was a nirva with an oivik kechavim. V'loy mishum mukta, you're not concerned that maybe somebody designated this behema to be a hakrava for avodah zara. V'loy mishum nevad. Additionally, you don't have to be concerned that maybe this animal itself was used as an avodah zara. It was used as a gachka. Meaning, an animal that's a reveya, a nirva, a muktzah, and a nevad are all possible the hakra. And it's for that reason you could have thought, never buy an animal from an avodah kechavim, because avodah kechavim is going to be chashin on these inyanim. Zok de toisefta, no. Loikha mehem behemel the carbon. You don't have to be chayesh. Lay mishum reveya, lay mishum nirva, lay mishum muktzah, lay mishum nevad. So the Gemara with a geshmak bish, lay mishum muktzah and nevad. Bish, I understand why you don't have to be chayesh for muktzah. Nevad, which again is a chiddush, because Oivdei Kechavim are for sure involved, they're engaged in avodah zara. But the reason is because im isa the aktiv, im isa the palche. Because if it were the case that Oivdei Kechavim set this aside for his avodah zara, or were it the case that he worshipped it, lehavim asvule, he would never sell it. So the fact that he's selling it is an umdira de muchach that this never happened. As a result, it's not going to be a problem. El revei v'nirva lachosh. But if you're telling me that Oivdei Kechavim is chashed on revia, so for sure we have to assume that maybe he did an avera with this animal, and a revei and a nirva are both excluded from being kosher for a carbon. So it's a very mini. Our Mishnah said you can't be maimed a behemah in a pundik shalavi kechavim. Why? Because the chashon on reveal. If that's the case, why is a loicha man behemah the carbon? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Tachlifa, Amar Rav Shila bar Avino, Mishmei de Rav. And this hopefully sounds familiar because the Gemara made a big deal about this already several dafin ago. Oivik kechavim chas al behemtoi shaloi teyaker. It's true. And oivik kechavim is chashed for reveal, but on your behemah, not on his behemah. On his behemah, because of the risk analysis, he may end up losing money. So it's for that reason, this is not something he's going to do. So if you're going to have a pundik and you're going to put your behemoth there, he's chashed on Raviyah. But if you're buying it from him, then already he's not going to be chashed. But the Gemara says, Hotei nachni kevois. So again, apparently the Metzias is that if the Oivik Kechavim is going to be Reveya the animal, so the animal is going to be the Nirva, the animal is going to be in a Keva, so then already you should have to be concerned. However, to the extent that the animal is a Zachar, so then the Oivik Kechavim would not be able to be bought on the Behema Kedarko. It would be like a Bia Shalai Kedarko. So over there, the Gemara holds this Chashash of Shalai Teyaker doesn't apply. And as a result, if the Chashash of Shalai Teyaker doesn't apply, so what about in that case? Now Rashi says over here, what does it mean Shalai Teyaker? Rashi says Nasas Akara, right? It's not Miloshin that something is going to happen to it. Behema Teyaker, like we had in the first parak of Avodah Zarah. Rashi says what it means over here is Nasas Akara. And that's why the Gemara is asking the Bishlam if it's in a Keva. So then a keva could become an akara. Ayyadeh this ma'isabiyah. But if it's a zachar, it's going to be a beer shalai kedark. If it's going to be a beer shalai kedark, it's not going to make the animal into an akara, right? It's not going to make it into an akar. So if it's not going to make it into an akar, so what's the reason over there? So the Gemara said, I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, hoyu l'may tchishin bebasar. Even though it's true, you're not going to turn the animal into an akar in the case of a zachar, but at the same time, you're going to be makhish. You're going to weaken the flesh a little bit. And it's for that reason, and therefore, this is something that is going to be okay. So again, what did Gemara say? The Mishnah said you can't be maimed behema in a pundik if you're renting it out to an Avi Kechavim. The reason is because he's chashed on Revi'ah. Afraid to Gemara, from a Teisefta, right here in our sugya. You're allowed to buy a behema from an Avi Kechavim. You're allowed to use it as a carp. Yeah, chayish for any of the psula. Now, the Gemara says, "Bishlam yomuktzav in Evrei here." Avi Kechavim would never sell his heilige animal to you to bring us a carp. But why are you not worried about Roiv and Nirva? So the Gemara said it's because over here you're buying his thing, and on his thing he's not chashed. And the Gemara explains as it relates to his nekeva, he's not chashed because he doesn't want it to turn into an akara. And as it relates to his zachar, he's also not chashed. And because of these two svaris, even though be'etzem he's chashed on revia, but for his own animal already, then not. The Gemara asks a follow-up. Elo hadatan, you've learned in a braisa, loikhem behema meiroyon shalem. You're allowed to buy a behema not only from the oivik echavim, but even from a shepherd of an oivik echavim. So this is a shepherd who watches animals, and now he's selling the animals that he's watching. I guess he has rishus to do that, but the point is, he's the shepherd. Halach is you're allowed to buy from him as well. So the Gemara says, why lechush dilma ravala? Why are you not worried that maybe the roya was reveya, and to the extent that the roya was reveya, so based on that, the halacha should be, it should be aser. Meaning, bishlam, if you're buying it from the owner, so there's a svara that, but you see this iser is true, or the heter is true, even when you're buying it from the raya. L'chayr, when you're buying it from the raya, in that case, it doesn't belong to him. And being that it doesn't belong to him, so over there should be a chshash. So the Gemara says, there too, it's mutter, and the reason is, shalahen, misyari mishum hefseschar. Even there, he's going to be concerned. The reason is because he doesn't want to lose his money. Because at the end of the day, he's getting paid to do his job. And being that he's getting paid to do his job, so again, he's not going to go ahead and ruin it, because he doesn't want there to be a problem. The Gemara says, Elo hadatanya, if that's the case, let me ask you another question. We learned in a braisa, again, these are all Teiseftas here in Mesechtas Avodah Zarah. These are Gemaras that we saw already in the first parak. Ein moiser behema l'roya shalehem. The halach is in order to be moiser a behema to that roya. Right? One of the halachas that you have as it relates to a behema and an ovik echavim is in order to give a behema to that roya. Why? The reason I give it to the roya is because he's chashan on revia. Now, you just told me that he's not chashan on revia. Why? Because he's afraid. Afraid the Gemara lema. So why don't we say roya shalehem misyare mishum hefsed scharay? Right? So Mamarav Shach, what's going on over here? Meaning, you're telling me that you're allowed to buy an animal from a roya of an oivik echavim to use as a carbon, even though he's chashed on revia, and the reason is because shalehem misyari mishum hefset tzchar. Well, if that's the case, why ain't moisir mehem al roya shalehem? So, perfect. If I know of a roya that's an oivik echavim who's much cheaper than all the Jewish royim, so maybe I should be allowed to use him because of the fact that it's cheaper. Ah, you're going to tell me he's chashed on revia? There's a svara that shalehem misyari mishum hefset tzchar. So the Gemara says a very interesting answer. The Gemara says, inu di yadi bahadadi Marsisi. As it relates to a roya oivik kechavim, taking an animal from an oivik kechavim, there the roya is going to be afraid to chapa. And the reason is because he knows that the oivik kechavim is probably choshed him of what's going on, because his mind is in the same place. And as a result, he's going to know to look out for it. As a result, it's going to be a mirsis. But Adnan, as it relates to Yidden, we're kedoshim. The lo yadinim bahu. We're not involved in these zachin, so we probably don't know. Like mirsisi, over there, there's not going to be a mirsis. So says the Gemara, you're right. When a roya oivet kechavim is watching the animal of an oivet kechavim, over there, counterintuitively, You don't have to be concerned that anything happened. And the reason is because there's a meresis. He's afraid of the balabas because he knows that as soon as the animal comes home, the first thing he's going to ask the animal, he's going to make sure the animal didn't engage in any bestiality together with the raya. Up at the yid is not thinking of these things. And as a result, over the year, you're not going to have the svara of meresis. The Gemara said, "Amar Rabba, Rabba sent Haimud Amar Yinshi." This is pshat in the following obscure mashal, and that is machtava glola baza ragla b'chavre yada. So the way Rashi teaches this mashal over here is machtava glola baza. So there's a certain type of like a metal that's able to cut through marble. Ragla b'chavre yada, one miragel, one hoylech rachel. One yenta knows about the other yenta. What's Pashup Shad? So the way Rashi explains it is that marble is not afraid, right? Because marble, he's kosher kebarzel, right? He's kaltvias, he's very strong. So he's not afraid of anything. The only thing he's afraid of is that one kryptonite, that one thing that's able to cut him. This is the only thing that, you know, spooks him a little bit. In the same vein, just like the marble gets afraid of this machteva, so too one yenta is afraid of the other yenta. And the reason is because it takes one to know one. So people don't necessarily walk around afraid of whatever. But if you're a yenta and you know that person's a yenta, so you're both thinking the same thing, right? That's why, right, yentas don't always trust each other so much for good reasons. But the bottom line is, this is the Inyan over here. So says the Gemara, says it relates to the Oivik Echavim, it takes one to know one. So the Roy Oivik Echavim is afraid of the Oivik Echavim Balabas. Why? Balaz Dezalbi Yenta, Zayviyen. He's the same Noyev, so that's why he's afraid of him. When it comes to the Yid, he's actually not afraid of the Yid, because in his mind, the Yid doesn't know. Bottom line is, just so interesting that there's an afgemina la'alocha. These are such nuanced halachas. There's an afgemina la'alocha as it relates to a roya who's watching an animal of a guy versus a roya that's watching an animal of a yid. So again, let's regroup here for a second. So again, the Mishnah had said that if you have a pundik and you want to rent it out to an Oivik Echavim, make sure there's no behemoth over there. Why do you have to make sure there's no behemoth over there? You have to make sure there's no behemoth because the Oivik Echavim are chashud on revir. Right? You're allowed to buy an animal from a guy and you're allowed to use it as a carbon. Why are you allowed to use it as a carbon? Why are you not worried that maybe that the guy was revei the animal and as a result, this animal could be a reiva, could be a nirva. They could end up being an issue. So you might say like this. If you're buying an animal that's in a keva, right? Let's say you want to bring a chatas or a shlomim in a keva, and you're buying it from an oivik echavim. You don't have to be concerned that the oivik echavim was reveya than a keva, because he's chasal behemte shloiteyak. If you're buying a zachar from an oivik echavim, you also don't have to be worried. And the reason you don't have to be worried is, even though there's no chashak kara, there's no svar of shloiteyak, but at the same time, there's a svar that the basar is going to become a little weaker, hoylu makrisham the basar, and for that reason, this is not something you have to worry about. But the Gemara says, "Ihachi ebazar is charem in a kevois loy nizben." Why are we not concerned about buying a zachar from an akeva? The chashin and dilma meravale ilave, meaning you shouldn't be allowed to buy a zachar from an akeva because of a concern that maybe the animal was roiveya than a keva. And you're going to have a problem. Now, if the animal's revered the behemba, you don't have the svar of shaloi teyaker, right? Especially you're buying a zachar, so obviously there's no svar of loi teyaker, and there's no svar of hayolu makrishan. That would only be a svar if the animal's a nirva, not if the animal's a reveya. So in the Gemara, in that case, it should be asur. Again, if you're telling me that they're chashud, so the chayud in a keva is also chashud. If the nekeva is also chashud, so then why does the braisa say loikha mehem behemol the carbon? It sounds like in all situations. L'chayru, the chashud on reveya, so bishloim a zachar, zachar, zachar in a keva, I understand. But what about if you want a keva zachar, meaning when the animal's a zachar and you're buying from an akeva, and for the Gemara, you don't have to be worried. The reason you don't have to be worried is because kivan the migri ba mirsasa. Because this akeva is going to be afraid to engage in this inyan of revia together with the animal, and the reason is because the minute is going to be some sort of bia that's going to take place. So now the animal already is going to be following around the isha, and she's going to be mirsas because she's going to be walking in the street, and the animal is going to be there, and it's going to right look like something might have happened. So there's a svara of mirsas, and that's why you don't have to worry about this. But the Gemara says if that's the case, el hadatani. Rav Yosef taught in a braisa, our mountain loisar be kalpa, and Amana is not allowed to raise a dog. V'leitishri bar beirav beushpiza. Additionally, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't stay by her. Right, and Amana, because she's not married, she doesn't have pas besala. So as a result, loisar be kalpa. Additionally, a bar beirav shouldn't be by her. So bishleim a bar beirav. I understand why that's a problem. Kusniela. Being that he's a tzonua, she's not going to be afraid to do a ma'is avera with him. Right? Ordinarily, you could always think there's like a mirsis. She's going to be afraid to do an avera because I'm the man's going to talk, but he's a Bar Beirav. He's not going to tell anyone that he did an Aveira. So as a result, that's why there's such an Issa. Ela Kalba Kimi the Migraba Mirsasa. L'chayra, why don't we say that she should be allowed to be misyachid with a caliph? What are you worried about? You're worried that she's going to do an aveira with the caliph? You have nothing to worry about because she's afraid. What's she afraid of? She's afraid the dog's going to be following her around. So if there's a zasar tzvara, I mean a tzvara that permeates the laws of kachem, that you're allowed to buy an animal zachar from an akeva because of a tzvara that she's mirsis. What's the mirsis? Kimin the migri ba mirsis. So that is a good svara when it comes to the laws of kachim, but at the same time, if the svara mirsis works for kachim, it should zicha work over here. So why is this a problem? So the Gemara says, no, a dog is very different. Kalba, kiven the migraba, says the Gemara, kiven the chishadile umtsa, umatsrich, abasra, a dog. If you throw the dog a bone, you give it breakfast, right? The dog is going to follow. You say, and it's for that reason you don't have to be worried. If you're dealing with a sheep, a goat, like an animal that's roi lakrova. So over there, the only reason the animal would be following around this isha is probably because of some issues. So over there, she's embarrassed. So there's a meresis. And as a result, you have nothing to worry about. But when it comes to a dog, there could be a bunch of different reasons. And as a result, you could always say, you want to know why this dog is following me around? Because I feed the dog. And as a result, over here, you're not going to have this one. But the Gemara asks one last kasha. Nekeves, Eitzel Nekeves, my time, loy meyachdinon. What about a Nekeva, Eitzel Nekeva? Again, loy chaman behemoth the carbon sounds like you'd always buy a behemoth from an Oiv Kechava. Why could you always buy a behemoth from an Oiv Kechava? We said why you can buy a Nekeva from an Oiv Kechava Zachar, because he's not going to be Revei. He's chas al behemoth shleiteyak. We understand why you could buy a Zachar behemoth from an Oiv Kechava Zachar, because Hayulu Makrisha. We even explained why you can buy a Zachar behemoth from a Vedes Kechavim Nekeva, and the reason is because she's afraid he's going to follow her around. But what about an Nekeva from an Nekeva? There too, there should be a chash that there was something that happened, and as a result, there should be a problem. Says the Gemara, Nekeva is Eitzel Nekeva is might. I'm sorry, the Gemara's kash is something else. Nekeva is Eitzel Nekeva is my time of learning Yachdin. The Gemara's kash is not on the Brisa. The Gemara's kash, right? Nekeva Eitzel Nekeva is Pasha. Why would it be a problem? What should be the problem? There's no Maisa Bia. The kash is on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eimam Bida Behemu Bapuntakosha Levi Kechav, Mepneich Shechshudam Alevia. And it sounds like this is true in all cases, even in Nekeva Eitzel Nekeva. So the Gemara's kash is now going back on the Mishnah, and the Gemara's kash is, right? Why is this Aser? And by the way, Rashi speaks out. Maybe it's Mutter. So Rashi says, if you remember on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, in the first paragraph, Gemara brought a Braisa that elaborated on this halacha. And the Braisa said, Mefurish, Nekeve Seitzel Nekeve, Scharim Eitzel Scharim, Vein Tzarech Loiman, Scharim Eitzel Nekeve, Nekeve Tzel Scharim. Well, we made a big deal about that in the Gemara on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis. So we know Nekeve Seitzel Nekeve itself is Aser. So for the Gemara, why is it Aser? Amar Maruk Vabarchom, Mnesha Oivdei Kechavim, Mitzuyan Eitzel Neshech. The reason is because the Ovdei Kechavim themselves were Matzoi Eitzel, their friends' wives, Upamim She'ena Moitza, and sometimes this man's going to come to the house and he's not going to find his friend's wife, Abu Moitza Sabahema, he's going to find the Behema, V'roiva. And then the Gemara says, by the way, V'iba Yisei Ma'afilu Moitza Nami, Roiva, even if he's going to find her, still he'll be Roiva, the Behema, the Amma Mar Chaviva Aleim Behemtin Shal Yisrael, Yoisim Menisha Seyem. And if it belongs to a Yid, it's Chaviva Yoisim Menisha. Some Rishonim say, it's Lav Dafka Yisrael. It's Lav Dafka Yisrael. But it's Chaviva Aleim Behemtin. Yosem and Ishasem. The only reason we would say Yisrael, because by their own behemoth, we just said they're chas. So Yenim's behemoth. So Yisrael just means Yenim's behemoth. But the bottom line is that Enochanami, the Yisrael of the Isser, is not what's going to happen between the Nekeva and the Nekeva. That's not the Isser. The Isser is what's going to happen with a man together with this Nekeva. Again, the Kasha was, she's just a Nekeva. There's no man over here. Truth is, but it's Yenim's man. And as a result, you're going to end up with an issue, says the Gemara. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, now it's not even clear from the words of the Gemara what the Amar Rabbi Yochanan is. But really, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan over here is that this Gemara seems to be saying that the Ovdei Kechavim are so chashad, specifically chashad on Revia, right? Which is, it's the Nidrig of Nidrig, right? Pachay Sheb Pchusim. I mean, Ad Kedei Kach, this one line, that Ovdei Kechavim are Chaviv Aleim Behemtin Shei Yisrael Yoisem and Isha, saying, where does this come from? So Gemara says this is the rest of the story. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, Shosh Ba Nachash Al Chava, when the Nachash was born Chava, Hito Ba Zuama, he put a Zuama into Chava. And that Zuama that came from the Nachash is what became manifest, and it's what caused the Ivdei Kechavim to be so low. So the Yidden should be the same way, right? We all come from Adam Arishon and Chava. So the Gemara says, Yisrael shalomdu al har Sinai, paska zu amasam, Ivdei Kechavim shaloi amdu al har Sinai, loi paska zu amasam. It's true, the Yidden had it, but then they were amdu al har Sinai. When they were amdu al har Sinai, this all went away. As opposed to, as it relates to Ivdei Kechavim, they were never amdu al har Sinai, and as a result, it didn't go away. Now, as it relates to B'shosh Ba Nachash Al Chava, Pesukim, it doesn't say anything about the Nachash being Ba'an Chava. Something we've spoken about B'ezus Hashem many times over the years. This is more famous. Nafa Avodazor Chabez for Shabbos, Kuf Mem Vav Amir Aleph, Nef Shechayim in Shar Aleph. We spoke about this actually in the beginning of Masechet Avodazor not so long ago. One thing you see in this Gemara is that even though we know Chazal say that the Yidden reached a tremendous Madrega by Har Sinai and then they lost it after the Chet Ego, but they didn't lose it 100%, right? Because you see clearly that Bizman Hazeh, Hayoim, there's a Havdalah between Yisrael and the Ivdei Kechavim, and it's based on the Paska Zu Amasam. What do you mean? I thought after the Chet Ego, all the Paska Zu Amasam was undone. It's clear from this Gemara that it wasn't undone 100%. One last Gemara. Ibayilu, Oifois Ma. Are Ivdei Kechavim Chashu to be Baal Oifois? Or not. So the Gemara says, Tashmad, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Chanina. Ani Ro'i, see, I once saw, Oiv Kechavim, Shalokach Avaz Men Ashok. He bought an Avaz from the Shok, which is an Oif. Rava, he was Reveya it. Chanka, and then he killed it. Tzala, he roasted it. V'achla, and he ate it. So you see, clearly, he was Reveya. This is even lower. He bought a yerek. He bought the thigh of a knife. The chokak ba, and what he did was he took the yerek and he made in it the tsura of a kedei revia, something that would be shaykh to be reveya. Rava tzal of achla, and he went and he was reveya. So you see the chashit even on a yerech, let alone on a knife, and kavachem ram the hemis. So there's no question in the world, these are things that they're chashit on. Now, as it relates to raid, we could talk now about, you know, maybe we'll save this for another day. So as it relates to raid, as promised, going back to Amud Aleph, specifically where the Gemara talked about and that is, so again, how did the daf begin? The daf began, Rav Shimon Alaza Omer, Lo yaskir adam sadeo lukuti. A person should not rent his field to a kuti. And the reason is because people are going to know this field as being the field of the kuti. And the kuti is going to go, he's going to do malach and chalomoyit. And as a result, there's going to be a marisayim problem because it's going to look like the yid hired this kuti to go and do malacha for him on chalomoyit. So again, Rav Shimon Alaza said that if you own a field and you want to rent it to a kuti, you can't do it. And the reason is because the kuti is chashit to do malacha and chalomoyit. And when he does that, it's going to look a little bit like you hired him to do that. There's going to be a problem marisayim. This is something that's a very big issue. Gemara asks that to the extent that the kuti is chashud on the laws of doing malach and chalamayit, so why are you telling me it's asur because of marisayin? You're saying good, but say better. The kuti is geir yemes in our sukkah. He's a regular yid. He's not allowed to do malach and chalamayit. And if that's the case, you're being machshul him to do malach. You're going to be able to lifnei sita. The Gemara said, you're right. You're 100% right. You're saying good. You're saying good. And really, what Rav Shimon Alaza said in the Brisa was one of two reasons. One reason is, lifnei iver leisita michshel. Another reason is, based on marisayin. Tosfos, dibur ha-maschel, teipak lei, mishum lifnei iver says, that from this Gemara, you can bring a raya to something that Rabbeinu Tam said. And that is, there's an iser lifnei iver leisita michshel, not only to be machshel someone to do an issa de raisa, but even to be machshel someone to do an issa de rabban. In other words, lifnei iver leisita michshel. What does that mean? So it means a lot of things. It means you can't give somebody bad advice. Could be, it means, we'll see more about that in the course of the raid, that you're physically not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of someone. You can't put the proverbial banana peel in front of the suma. It also means, as we saw throughout the first parak of the first parak, we just said Hadron Alach Lefnei Edeim, that you're not allowed to be machshel someone bedvar aveir. So you can't hand a glass of wine to a nazir who's not allowed to drink wine, and you can't hand Eva Menachai to a ben noyach who's not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. You can't be machshel someone bedvar aveir. Yeshlacher, is that only true if the aveir that this person's going to do is an isa de raisa? Or is it true even if it's an Issa d'Rabbanan? Says Tosfos from our Gemara Chabaraya. This is the one Raya in Shas. From this Gemara I have a Raya. That is an Issa lifnei Yivel Isitim Michshol, not to be Machshol someone B'dvar Aveira, even if that Aveira is going to be an Issa d'Rabbanan, which by the way says Tosfos was a Chiddush that Rabbeinu Tam said. So in the list of chidushim of Rabbeinu Tam that are scattered throughout Tosfos and Shas, this is one of them. That is an issa lifnei ivel leisita michshol, even to be machshol someone with an issa drabanan. Says Tosfos, there's a raya from our sugya. You know why? Because you see from the Gemara, there's an issa lifnei ivel leisita michshol, not to be machshol someone to do malacha chol hamoed, and not doing malacha chol hamoed. Says Tosfos, is an issa drabanan. Midairaisi can't do malacha chol hamoed. It's only an issa drabanan. And if you see there's a lifnei ivel leisita michshol and issa malacha chol hamoed, says Tosfos, mikan yesh lehevi. If you take a look at the Ramban on this Gemara right here, the Ramban asks as a kasha. He says, "What's going on over here? Whoever heard that this lifnei ivel leisita michshol when it comes to an issa day raisa?" Says the Ramban, from this Gemara, there's a riot that the issa to do malacha chalamoid is an issa day raisa. In other words, from this Gemara you see that there's an Isser Lifnei Ivel Eisita Michshol when it comes to Isser Malach and Chalamay. Which means that you have to be Meichiach one of two things from this Gemara. Either you have to be Meichiach from this Gemara that there's an Isser Lifnei Ivel even by an Isser Rabbanan, based on a premise that the Isser to do Malach and Chalamay is an Isser Rabbanan. And that's what Tosfos said. Or you have to be Meichiach that the Isser to do Malach on Chalamay is an Isser Rice. Because you're not willing to accept that there's an Issa Lifnei Ivel by an Issa Drabanan. Aye, there's an Issa Lifnei Ivel when it comes to doing Malacha Chalamoid, must be the Issa to do Malacha Chalamoid is an Issa Deiraisa. The truth is, this Shaila, whether the Issa to do Malacha Chalamoid is an Issa Deiraisa or is an Issa Drabanan, is without question in the conversation of a top 10 Machlokes Rishonim of all times. Again, I haven't seen the recent rankings, but there's nothing to talk about that this Machlokes right here is in the conversation, right? We said the Machlokes Kutim Geir Emes, Kutim Geir Arais, that's a top 10 Machlokes. This is a top 10 machloikis rishayim. Tasting throughout Shas. Vadvarim matikin. But what emerges is that one of the marmekoimis to this shiloh is right here, Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. And what's fascinating is we talk about Salat in the Shir, how you have a derivative machloikis. How one machloikis somehow is going to be totally in another machloikis, even though at face value these two machloikis have absolutely nothing to do with each other. But just based on how you learn a pasugya, it's going to emerge that two things that really should have no shaykhis to each other are very much going to be mitl tali zebezeh. I think if you ask somebody, does the shayla of Malach and Chalamayit, Issa Deiraisa, Issa Rabbanan, have anything to do with this an Issa Lifnei Iver for Issa Rabbanan? He would say, come again? Like, what are you talking about, right? Go back to Yeshiva, become a Lamdan, and then let's have a conversation. I mean, right, very easy to be Mechalik between those two sugis. They have absolutely nothing to do with each other. It's not true. They're very much Tali Zebezeh. You can't hold that there's Lifnei Iver only by an Issa Deiraisa, and hold at the same time that the Issa Chalamoid Melacha is an Issa Rabban. You have to take a position. Either you're going to have to hold that the Issa Melacha Chalamoid is an Issa Deiraisa, or you're going to have to hold that the Issa Lifnei Iver is true even by an Issa Rabban. But the bottom line is, this machlik is Tosfos and the Ramban tucked away right here in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Right, just to bring it out a little bit better, one of the things that come up, Shain Eimo, when you learn the sugya of Issa Melacha Chalamoid Deiraisa Rabbanan, is the... is there a chiyuv to wear tefillin on Chalamoid, or is there not a chiyuv to wear tefillin on Chalamoid? Right, that whole shaila in the Rishonim of tefillin on Chalamoid, not tefillin on Chalamoid, is very much telling this, right? Because what would be the reason not to put on tefillin on Chalamoid? Because there's an ois. What would be the ois? There's a malach. If there's a malach, is an issa deiraisa, so there's your ois. But if it's only issa rabbanan, not that the Rishonim, Tosfos, all the Rishonim make talis zebezeh. We have read by it, Bezus Hashem, from the beginning of Maseches Ma'akadim. We went through this very, very much. But the bottom line is that I hear doing malach on Chalamoid, wearing tefillin on Chalamoid, those are two sugyas that have a shaykhs to each other. So the fact that they would be derivative machlikas and of each other makes a lot of sense. It's super logical. But lifnei iver, having a shaykhs with isa malacha chalamay, that not nearly as much. But what comes out from this sugya right here is that that's the way it is. So just a few ha'aras. The first ha'ar is michas chinuch in mitzvah reish lamed beis, klares. According to Shitas Tosfos, that there's an isa lifnei iver leisita michshol to be machshol another year to do even an isa derabbanan. Says the Michas Chinuch, if somebody would go and would be machshol someone to do an Issa D'Rabbanan, would he be over a lifnei ivel leisita michshol midei raisa, or would he only be over a lifnei ivel leisita michshol midei rabbanan? At first glance, you would have to say that it would seem more logical that he's only over lifnei yivid rabbanim. And the reason is because how could it be that the machshol's role is more chomer than the nichshol's? Right? The person that you were machshol to do an aveira didn't issed rabbanim. I was only machshol you to do it. So I should be over in Issadei Raisa, right? You would think that if the person doing the Avdeira is only doing an Issadei Rabbanon, so how could it be that I'm over in Issadei Raisa? So what would be a case? A case would be where someone's a Nazid Rabbanon. Well, let's come up with a Geshmaka case. The person's a Nazid Rabbanon. Where's their Nazid Rabbanon? If your old Kinuyim is only the Rabbanon, right? Toysfus and Nazid Abezim and Aleph. So you have yourself your Nazid Rabbanon. Good. So let's say you have a Nazid Rabbanon and you pour him now a glass of wine Dei Raisa, right? This is a Cabernet Midday Raisa. There's nothing to talk about. It's been airing out for the last few years. It's sitting in a cellar for 20 years. The wine's Dei Raisa. The news is only the Rabbanon. So what's the question over here is, you went ahead and you were Moshe. You said, no, take a glass. He said, I'm a Nazir. He says, I know. The guy's here is like literally in the glass of wine. He says, I don't care. Take my word for it. You don't know what you're missing out over here. This is Kedai to be soisy in his ears. Go ahead, have this glass of wine. Right? So you're a machshon. You're over lifnei yivid la'isik t'mishal. When he drinks it, he's only over the iser naziris d'rabbanan. You're going to be over the iser d'raisa? So at first glance, it would seem that just based on a very high level, a 20,000 foot view logic, that how could it be that the machshol should be more chamor than the nichshol himself? Stating that, the Mechas Chinuch says, in Svara, I hold it's not that way. In Svara, I hold that even if someone's machshol someone with an isid rabbanon, he's going to be over lifnei iver leisit the michshol midei raisa. And the Mechas Chinuch says, because what's the reason there's an isser lifnei iver leisit michshol? What is the isser lifnei iver leisit michshol? The isser is, don't be machshol another yid. Don't be machshol. If I'm machshol you, I was machshol you. I was machshol with an isser raisa, I was machshol with an isser rabbanon, who cares? At the end of the day, I was machshol you. In other words, the isser lifnei iver leisit michshol is very fundamental. It's kedai to be misplaining for a second. It's not exclusive to pouring a glass of wine to a nazir or giving Eber Menachai to a Ben Noach. It's don't be machshel in any way. Don't give an eitz sheni agenes, right? It means don't in any way cause somebody to stumble. L'chayre, that's what the iser is. And if that's what the iser is, so as long as I was machshel you, I was over in Issa Dei Raisa. If you're kishlein, right, what you now did on your end was an Issa Dei Raisa, so who cares? If I gave you bad advice and you went ahead and now you made a bad business investment because of advice that somebody gave you, that you aren't over an Issa Dei Raisa or an Issa Dei Rabbanon, right? You weren't over anything. But you're over an Issa Dei Raisa because you were marshaled that person to go ahead and do that. So says the Mechas Chinuch, the Yisoyed of not being Moishnet Kois Yayin Lanazir is not related to the Isser per se. The Isser is just the simen that you're being machshel the person. Mali, if you machshel him in Yoni Ruchniyim, or if you machshel him in Yoni Gashmiyim, or you machshel him any other way. The bottom line is that you were machshel him. And at the end of the day, if the person was even Isser the Rabbanim, is you were machshel him. And that's for sure considered that you cause him to stumble, and if that's the case, he's going to be able to lift an evil see to mishul even their eyes. See, even though at first glance it sounds like a little bit of a lumdish anomaly, but the Mechas Chinuch says with a geshmak that that's not the way it is. Mechas Chinuch says it's muchach that way from Tosfos also. So you have to go through Tosfos a little bit better to see our Tosfos. Where you see mefurish in this Tosfos, that's what Tosfos held. It's not so clear at first glance, but the bottom line is this is the Mechas Chinuch mitzvah reish lamid beis. Another ha'ara is what would happen if somebody is machshel someone b'dvar aveira. But the person that did the aver b'shaytik. Would he be over lifnei iver leisit michshol? Would he not be over lifnei iver leisit michshol? So someone that's moishet kois yayin l'nazir, where the nazir knows exactly what he's doing, and he's very good. Right, he should have shown up to the party, but he's there, and he's abstaining. He knows this is something that's not okay. But you egg him on, and now he goes ahead, and he drinks it. Okay, he did a b'mezid at the end of the day. And as a result, this for sure lifnei iver leisit michshol. What would be if the person that you poured the kais yayin l'nazir to, didn't even chap. I didn't know he's a nazir, he didn't chap. It's wine, whatever the story was. The bottom line is, he's a shoykek. Would you be over lifnei iver, or would you not be over lifnei hiver? So I saw that Ratzvi Pesach Frank in his Shailos Tshuvas Hartzvi, and this is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it's in Yerideya Simen Kuf Chav Dalet. Incidentally, he has a lot of tshuvas on our sugyas that are very, very geshmak. Kedarke Bakoidish says it's a davar pashut that luchayr would be a problem, right? Why is it a davar pashut that it would be a problem? Because at the end of the day, you were machshalim, and Mali, if he did it b'mezid, if he did it b'shoigig, the end of the day, if you were machshal him. Right? He just did an Avera, B'shoigig. You do an Avera, B'shoigig. You also have to have Kapara. But says Rabbi Pesach, I'll tell you one Geshmak Azach. The Tois says in Avodah Zarah, Dafchav Bezem Arale, that just like you have Lifnei Yivle, Sita Michshol, if you machshol someone to do an Isidei Reis, you also have Lifnei Yivle, Sita Michshol, if you machshol someone to do Rabbana. It's a Machloikis Rishayna, but that sheet is Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam brought a Raya from the Sugi in Avodah Zarah, Dafchav Bez. And the Michas Chinuch even has a Tzad to say, it says Ikr Tzad, that you're going to be Yoyber in Isidei Reis. But Yesh Loimar, in the event that you're going to be machshol someone to do an Isir, the Rabbana, it could be there, it's not going to be a problem, and that's based on the Nesivus, the well-known Nesivus. But the Nesivus says that any person that does an Avera Dirabana B'shoigig doesn't need Kapara. And Avera Dairaisa B'shoigig needs Kapara. But Dirabana not. And the reason is because an Issa Dairaisa is a Cheftza of an Issa. And as a result, if you put that Sama Mavis into your body, you need Tikkun. The bottom line is you need some form of Kapara. Not on the same level, same there, but you need some form of Kapara. But the Issa Dirabana is not an Issa Cheftza. All it is an Issa Gavra. The Issa is the Merida. It's the fact that you're being murdered, you're rebelling. To the extent that you were a Shoigig, you never rebelled. If you never rebelled, you don't need Kapara. So says the Hartzvi, one that even though it comes out from Tosfos that there's an issur lifnei iver even by an issur d'rabbanan, but it'll happen after gemina b'negei a shoigig. If it's an issur d'raisa, even if he's a shoigig, if it's an issur d'rabbanan, so in that case, if he's going to be a shoigig, there you're not going to have a problem. Another ha'ara as it relates to lifnei iver leisita michshol, and that is the chinuch. In Sefer HaChinuch, a mitzvah, Reish Lamed Beis says that as it relates to the issur of Falifne Ivele Sita Michel, the Ain Loikin Olaf. You don't get Malkus. Falifne Ivele Sita Michel, the Fisha Ain by Maisa. So Lifne Ivele Sita Michel is a Lav Shain by Maisa, and because it's a Lav Shain by Maisa, Ain Loikin Olaf. The Chinuch says you don't get Malkus. The Chinuch says that to me, I have no Havana in the world of what's going on in this Chinuch. Lifne Ivele Sita Michel is a Lav Shain by Maisa. It could be a lav shein b'maisa, right? For example, if somebody comes to you for advice, you give them bad advice. Okay, you over lifnei iver leisita michshol, and you did a good dibur. Dibur is your classic example of lav shein b'maisa. V'lav shein b'maisa ain't loikin olav. But what if you did a maisa? What if you took a stumbling block, you put it in the path of an iver, he tripped on it, and you were just over lifnei iver leisita michshol, and you did it with a maisa? What's going on over here? And Echanami, it's possible. It's possible to be over on a maisa, but it's also possible to be over with a maisa. And to the extent that it's possible to be over with a maisa, so when you do it with a maisa, you should get malchus. So the chinuch says, "Ve'ein loikin olav l'fisha ein by maisa." That's all good if you did it on a maisa. But what would be if you went ahead and you did it with a maisa? L'chayr, in that case, you should get malchus. Says the Michas Chinuch that at first glance, I think this is a raya to something that I've always thought, something that I think is very meduyik in the Rishonim. And that is that if somebody would go and he would violate lifnei iver leisita michshol, we've spoken about this so many times. Somebody would violate lifnei iver leisita michshol in the pshutei shel mikra de gesens. He would not be over the lifnei iver leisita michshol. In other words, if somebody would go and he would put a michshol in the pathway of an iver, and the person would fall and harm himself, you would not be over the lifnei iver leisita michshol. If that's true, Zokta Michas Chinuch, then I have no problems over here. Because what would emerge is the only way you could be over Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol is on a Maisa. The only way you could be over it on a Maisa, in that case, it's going to be a Lav Shein by Maisa, and if it's a Lav Shein by Maisa. Now, what's this Chiddush that the Michas Chinuch mentions that we've spoken about so many times? It comes from the Mishnah Melech, who brings it from the Knesset HaGdoila, who said that if you look at the Rishonim, you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, and you look at the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, and you look at Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, different Rishonim in different places, when they talk about the Isser, Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol, they say, what's the Isser? The Isser is not to give somebody bad advice. Read the Chinuch. Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis, Shloi Lahachshol Tam Baderech. Loi Lahachshol B'nei Yisrael, Lasei Slohem Eitzara. Avon Niyashner Oysham, כשישאלו עצה, במה שנאמן שהוא יושב ועצה טובה, שנאמר, ולפני עבר לא עשיתם מכשול, ולא שם ספרו, לפני סומה בדבר, ויונותם למחו עצה, אל תיתן לו עצה שאינו יגנס לו, ואמרו חזל, אל יאמר אדם לחבר, ומחור סודך וכך אמר, ואוי כיף עולה ונות להימנו. This is the way the Rishonim present the halacha of lifnei ve'lo yisitem mechshol. And them is at first glance, it's a pella. Why would they present it that way? I mean, it's true, this is a se'if. It's a se'if katan, but it's not the ikaris. The ikaris is don't go ahead and put a mechshol in front of an iver. Said Mishal Malach Brinsif in the Knesset Gdolu, said that you see from here that if somebody would go ahead and do that, hitaku wouldn't be over lifnei ve'lo yisitem mechshol. It's dafka if you do it in this funny way. It's a fnei suma bo'is adover. But if it would be in front of a literal iver, a literal suma, in that case, he wouldn't be over this. The question is why? Mechitesi, how did the Rishonim know this? So over the years, we mentioned two mahalach, and they both come from this minchas chinuch, and there's really two makaris. One is the klei yakar. The klei yakar says, it says in the Torah, leisakal cheresh, v'lifnei iver lo yisnitei mechshol, v'yareisa me'eloi kecha ani Hashem. Rashi says, what does it mean, v'yareisa me'eloi kecha? So Rashi says, that being that this Indian of lifnei iver lo yisnitei mechshol is not something that's maser l'libo yishal adam, right, the chever around, they don't really know if you're being over lifnei iver, not being over lifnei iver. So you would think, I'm not afraid, big deal, let me go ahead and do it. The Torah says, v'yareisa me'eloi kecha, that even though the chever don't know, but I know, and as a result, you should be afraid of me, because I'm makir, you're machshav, and I know whether you have in mind the right thing, you don't have in mind the right thing. Straight to Kliyakar, why are you saying lifnei iver leisita michshol is that an avera that the bystanders are not going to... If somebody sees you go, and you put something in the way of a saginar, and he's going to fall on it, so... They're going to have you doing an avera. What's the avera sami alekecho? Says the klei yakar. Vaistois, that's not lifnei iver leisita michshol. Vaistois avera sami alekecho is teaching me that the only time you're over lifnei iver v'day raisa is if it's something that's taken not muscle alev. What does it mean it's not muscle alev? Like in Eitz Sheni Agenes. How does anyone know if the advice you're giving is something you have in mind or don't have in mind? You have to really trust the person. Zok de'ebishto, I say you're not afraid of him because... Right, he has no way of proving that you're doing something wrong, but be afraid of me. So, in the words of the Yireis Melekecha, we know to be Moitza Mikra Midei Pshuta. The other Mahalach that we said over is from the Malbim, where the Malbim said that the Pasuk says, V'lifnei iver leisitei mechshol. It shouldn't have said sitein. Really, what it should have said was leisasum, just in the world of diktok. Sasum means to give. To place something in front of somebody. Sita means to physically give something to somebody. So says the Malbim, from the fact that the Torah said lo sitein, it didn't say lo sasum, that's what the diktuk is. But either way, kfar rabu aparshonim, to try to figure out where in the... Again, the fact that Chazal could say what Chazal said... That's Talmud Bavli 101. But that being Moitzi Mikri Midei Pshutai, that's a Chiddush. And by the way, to say over the Kasha where the Geshmak is, because we know Rava says in Masechtas Yevamos that B'cholot Teirukulei Mikri Yoitzi Midei Pshutai, with the exception of the Parish of Yibum. That's the only time where B'hoya B'chari HaShatela, it's the only Pasuk in the Torah where Mikri is Moitzi Midei Pshutai. What do you mean? What happened to V'lifnei Iver Leisitei Mechshol? Vaistais in the Pshutai Shal Mikri Gufa of V'lifnei Iver Leisitei Mechshol. Right? In the Pshutai Shal Mikri, you see already Mefurish that it doesn't mean the Pshutai Shal Mikri. But Al Kopanim says in Mechaz Chinuch, this Chinuch would be a raya to that. Oh, it's very geschmack. What was my kasha? My kasha was, v'chayra, why is it a lav shein by maisa? You could be over lifnei iver leisita michshol in the regular way. That's not true. If you were over lifnei iver leisita michshol in the regular way, you wouldn't be over lifnei iver leisita michshol. This is a raya to the Knesset Gdolah, says Michas Chinuch, that the Mishnah Melech brings that if you over the pshutei shel mikra of lifnei iver leisita michshol, in that case, you're not going to have a problem. But the truth is all a pella. All the chreinim as is kashas. Minchas chinuch is a mitzvah liyashiv, and the reason it's minchas chinuch is a mitzvah liyashiv. V'yesh yishuvim, by the way, v'yesh liyashiv. But it's a mitzvah liyashiv, and that is minchas chinuch is asking on the chinuch. How could you tell me that lifnei iver leisita michshol is a lav shein by ma'isa l'chayru? You could do it with a ma'isa. How? The pshutei shel mikra of lifnei iver leisita michshol. It's a raya to all this gishmakarate that if you do the pshutei shel mikra, you're not over lifnei iver leisita michshol. Forget about the pshutei shel mikra. I have another case. If you moshit kaisayin lenozer, if you moshit even nachay to ben noach, there you also over lifnei iver leisita michshol. It's not the pshutei shel mikra to go lifnei iver leisita michshol. L'chayr in that case, it's lifnei iver deiraisa. What lifnei iver deiraisa is only eitzah sheni agenis? Is that pshat? I don't know, I thought it's just not the pshutei shel mikra to lifnei iver leisita michshol. But the two cases that Chazal always talked about, which is number one, eitzah sheni agenis, and number two, causing someone to do it v'ara veira, right? That b'raisin avodah zarah d'avav, That for sure is a lifnei iver deraisa. Right, we spoke at the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, the Baal Megillah Shlomo, who said lifnei iver, when you're machshel a goy, because rova yatir goy, we shtel tzu mar nagriz in the mechtavim, in the end of Sefer, so with him maybe it's only an issa derabbanon, because they only get tzchalik in the mitzvah vayisa anyways, but by yid for sure it's an issa deraisa. No one ever said that, that's not an issa deraisa. And that's also a lav sheyesh by maisa. So you can fight to do it with a maisa. So what's going on over it? What's pshan the chinuch? And what's pshan the minchas chinuch? Michas Chinuch already went down this road. He says, how could the Chinuch say that it's a lav sheyesh by ma'isa? There are cases where it's a lav sheyesh by ma'isa. Oh, must be, there's no case. Why? Because the Pshutei Shel Mikra is not the real thing. What about being Moishet Kaisiayin Lanaza? At first glance, this kasha is a pel. It's a pel on the Michas Chinuch. And again, it brings back the Michas Chinuch's kasha on the Chinuch itself. What's going on over here? Right? What's Pashup Shah? What's going on in the Chinuch? So the emphasis, I want to get to one last aura, but as it relates to the chinuch itself, this seems to be a geshmaki yishuv. Mechas chinuch bamergzit, right? He touches on it, doesn't love it, ayin shan, but the pashat mahalach would seem to be based on another chinuch. And this chinuch is a mitzvah resh mem aleph. The chinuch over there is talking about the lava of loisikoi, right? A Jew is not allowed to take nakama. So what if he takes nakama? Right, somebody hits you and you hit him right back. Says the chinuch, aval ein loikin alavze. You don't get malchus, lafisha im by maisa. Because it's a lav she'im by ma'isa. The klal ze yir biyotcha, says the Chinuch. I'm going to teach you a rule of thumb. Bechol mokim shenemar lav she'im by ma'isa ain't loikin olav. Every time you find lav she'im by ma'isa ain't loikin olav, is true. Afal pisha asa by shum ma'isa. Even if you did it with a ma'isa, ain't loikin olav mipnei kain, still you're not going to get malchus. Mikivon she'ef she'laver ala lav mibli ma'isa. Says the Chinuch, anytime a person is over a lav, that you could do without a ma'isa, even if you're over the lav with a ma'isa, you're still not going to get malchus. Mipnei she'efshe laver ala lav mibli ma'isa. Says the Chinuch, I'm telling you a rule. Klal ze yir biyotcha. And then he says at the end, v'tizkor dover ze bekulon. Remember this by all mitzvahs. Ki dover bororhu. I'm not even going to review it anywhere else. So I'm telling you a rule, says the Chinuch. Chinuch talking. That if you do a lav shnei by ma'isa, you don't get malchus. If you do a lav sheyesh by ma'isa, you get malchus. What if I do a lav that I could have done without a ma'isa, but I now went ahead and I did it with a ma'isa? I'm still not going to get a malchus. Mikivon she'ef she'lav ral alav mibli ma'isa. Truth is, this chinuch is the exact opposite of the famous Magid Mishnah, where the Magid Mishnah says that any lav that a person can do with a ma'isa, even if he does it without a ma'isa, you're going to get malchus, right? The Tshuvas made the Yehuda, the Gimel Kushis, on the Magid Mishnah of Advar Matiki, but the chinuch goes the other way around, right? In the past, we've tried reconciling this chinuch with the Magid, not you have to, they're both Rishonim, but we've tried. But the bottom line is, this is the chiddush of the chinuch, and the chinuch makes a big deal about it. Right, again, that if there's a lav that you could do on a ma'isa, even if you do it with a ma'isa, you're still not going to get malchus. It's pashup shah in the chinuch and mitzvah reishlam at base. The lav of lifnei iver loisitei michshol, you could do it on a ma'isa. You can be moishet kois yayin lanazer. You can maybe be over the pshutei shel mikra, but you could do it on a ma'isa. You could give someone an eitzah shenei genes. And avifah, you could do it on a... So this at first glance would be the most obvious pshat. The chinuch seems to touch on it and he doesn't love it. Tein l'chachem v'yechamay. But I just want to end with one last star. This is it. One last star. Im beis medrash b'lei chiddush nifla. And that is... So we said that the Mechas Chinuch brings from the Mishul Malchus, brings from the Knesset HaGdol. That even though the Pshutei Shel Mikra of Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol seems to be talking about someone not putting a Michshol in the presence of a Iver, but if somebody would do that, he would not be over the Issa Deraisa. This is an example where Mikra is Moitzim Bidei Pshutei. I think Gemara in Yevamos, because the Pshutei Shel Mikra is Muchach, that this is the way it is. Either from the words V'yareisim Elekecha, or from the words Loisitein. But the bottom line is, if somebody would go and he would be over the Pshutei Shel Mikra, Lifnei Iver wouldn't be over the Issa Deraisa. How are you over the Issa Deraisa, Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol? You give somebody an Eitzah She'enei Hagenes. That's one way. Another way would be, is if you're Machshol somebody, B'dvar Aveir. Stating that, Mechas Chinuch brings that the Knesset HaGdol wanted to say a Chiddush. Knesset HaGdol wanted to say that it could be, this is only true as it relates to the lav in the Torah of Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol. But as it relates to the Oror of Lifnei Iver Loisitei Michshol, there it's going to be different. So what is you mean? So it's referring to the Arurs and the Baruchs that are mentioned in Parshas Kisavai. When the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, they were told that half of the Shvatim were going to be standing on Har Griz, and the other half were going to be on Har Evel. The Levim would be on the bottom, and there would be Arurs and Baruchs. One of the Arurs that are mentioned is Arur Mashke Iver Badarech V'Omar Kola Am Amen. If someone is Mashke Iver Badarech, meaning if someone violates Lifnei Iver Leisitim Michshol, he's going to be cursed, right? He's going to be Arur. Said the Knesset HaGdoyla, that as it relates to that Arur, if someone would go ahead and he would be over the Lifnei Iver Leisitim Michshol in the literal sense, he taka would be over and he would violate the Arur. So the lav of Lifnei Iver Leisitim Michshol not. But the Arur, yes. So with all the raid that we've spoken about over the years where you don't maybe have the Pshuto Shel Mikra of Lifnei Iver Leisitim Michshol, right, where does it come up? It comes up, the Meshech Chachma we always speak out, that says if somebody digs a bar b'shus harabim, is he over an issa? Just from digging a bar b'shus harabim. Issa mazik, the Bircha Shmuel, and Bava Kama Simen Beis. Right, if someone goes and he digs a bar b'shus harabim, so the Meshech Chachmer Mei Simcha wants to say, Avad, you're going to be over if they evilly see the Mishal, the literal if they evilly see the Mishal. But one second, we have a Knesset HaGdoyla that the Mishal Melech brings, that the Chassanuch makes a huge deal about in Reish Lama Beis, that you're not. That maybe is true as it relates to the lav of if they evilly see the Mishal. But the Arur, everyone's going to be Maida. And what's the Svarah said to Knesset HaGdoyla? Because why am I saying that there's no Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol in the literal sense when it comes to the lav? It's from one of two reasons. Let's go with our ray. Either because it says V'yoreisa me'eloikecha, or because it says Leisite. This pasuk, it says Arur Mashker Iver Badarech V'amar Kalam Amen. It doesn't say V'yoreisa me'eloikecha, and it doesn't say Lifnei Iver Leisite Michshol. So the two reasons that I had in the lav of Lifnei Iver Leisite Michshol, both of them don't apply over here, and therefore we're going to say a chiddush that even though the lav, even though the lav you're not going to have, but as it relates to the Arur, that you're going to have. So you ready for Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush? I saw Dava Nifla this morning in the Sefer Parshegen. So that's a new Sefer that we've been quoting of late on Targum Unkelis. We quoted it many times in the Chumash recently. And that is in the Sefer Parshegen. And this is on the Pasuk of V'lifnei Iver Loi Sitein Michshol V'yoreisa Me'alekecha Ani Hashem. So he says as follows. He says, if you take a look at the Targum throughout Torah, on the word Iver, I'm going to read it inside. Iver b'mashma, what's the taich of an Iver? Mishen nito ma'or enof, right? Someone who doesn't have the ability to see. And if you look at the Targum in all those places, the Targum taich is the word Iver, Iver. The Pasuk says in Shmois Perek Dalet, oy pikeach, oy Iver. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, misam peli ilim. Oy pikeach, oy Iver. The Targum says on the word Iver, oy avira. Averes oishavur, vayikra chav beis. This is regarding the mumim of different animals. What's an averes? Avir oitvir, right? The word avira. Piseach oiver, dvorim tezvav. Is chagir oiver. Kashe yemashesh hoiver bafelo in the toichacha of Parshas Kisavai. Kema de memashesh avira. Every single time. The targum of the word Iver is the word Iver. Abul Khan says the Parshegen. If you take a look at the targum on the word, V'lifnei Iver loisitei michshol, Chazal said something else. You know what it says? V'lifnei Iver ukedom deloi chaze. Doesn't say Iver. It says someone that's a loch chaze. What does it mean to be chaze? Chaze means to see, right? Isn't that what chaze means to see? True, but not 100% true. Take a look at the Targum in the beginning of Parashas Re'eh. Re'eh anoichi noisein lefneichem ayoyim bracha uklala. What does the word Re'eh mean? Chazoy. It means look, but over there Re'eh doesn't mean literally see. It means be mispoinein. It means understand what's going on over here. So says the Parshegen, avokan shepirshu chazal iver. What does iver mean? Kol she'enoi meivin be'inyin. Someone that's not chapping. Right? He doesn't know. He's lost. He's asking you for advice. Or you're pouring him a kois yayin l'nozer. He has this addiction that he's trying to fight that you're going and you're hanging him on. So over here, Tirgim, what did the Targum say? Not Iver, because here it doesn't mean the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Vos meinto Iver. It means a kedom deloi chazi. She perusha enoi meven. Shari chazi mashmoi havana. Because that's really the oimik of what the word chazi means. Says the Parshegen. Imzois, stating that. Take a look at the Targum on the words Arur Mashker Iver Baderech. You know what the Targum says? Lit Diyate Avira Ba'orcha. V'loi Tirgum D'loi Chazi. Afal Pishagam Sham Pirish Rashi Kipsuk Kenu. Oh, but the reason is because there's an oimek. Because over there, the iver is the pshuta shel mikra as well. As it relates to the v'lifnei iver loisintim mikra, where it says v'yareisim alaykacha, where it says sitein. So there the Targum is learning up the pshuta shel mikra of the lav. What's the pshuta shel mikra of the lav? It's v'lifnei not iver. It's the loichazi. Someone who doesn't chaf, fakir, the real literal iver, that's not even included in the iser. Oh, but arim mashker iver badorech v'amra kolam amen. Over there, it's lit deyate avir barucho. There it doesn't say v'yareisim alaykacha. There it doesn't say v'lifnei iter loisintim mikra. Over there, it's the Targum was being mefarish, the pshuta shel mikra made this distinction between the lav and the ar. Is the tzvei dinim. There's the lav of v'lifnei iver loisintim mikra. Then there's the ar of mashker iver badarech. I think this is a nifle diga diuk in these two Targumim, and we are going to stop here.